Good to be here with you in person, not just in spirit and thought. Had to think over the past year of some of the things that the congregation here has done and what the congregation means to us as a family, as Joyce and I. We are very grateful for each one and would like to thank you for the prayer support and the gifts and things that you have provided for us. Thank you for that. So we think of a new year. It's always interesting to think back, first of all, before we turn the page to a new year, to see and reflect how things went and what God has done. Sometimes I think of years as chapters in our lives. We also think of the legacy that the choices that we've done in this past year, what is that going to add to those chapters, and what's going to be the outcome when we move on. The other thing is the goals that we set, and as we look forward now to the goals for the coming year, I hope that same thought influences us as we think about fulfilling the goals. The only way we're going to fulfill the goals that God has for us is to be close to Him and to walk close to Him and do things that He reveals to us. So a lot of thoughts go through our minds. I think of the tombstone. It's kind of morbid, but when you think of a new year and we get older each year, there's a lot of tombstones that are out in cemeteries that have birth years on them, and they have a line in between that and an empty space for those that are still living. But the question often is at a funeral, you know, what is on that line? What's written on that line? Kind of the same thought as our goals for the coming year. What are we going to put on the line? It's a lot of ways the choice is ours. What are we going to do? What are we going to put on the line? Quite a few people have seen this already. Does anybody know where I'm going with this? Joyce, you don't count. I'm sorry, you do count, but not in this situation. No. What's that? It's days. It's days. If the internet is correct on having 78 years as a average lifespan in the United States for a man, and you just take a general 365 times 78, that's what that is. Well, for me, by the time, if the Lord gives me another couple of weeks, I will turn 64, and I will have used ...23,060 of those days. And the ones that are above 50 and 55, that's shocking sometimes when you look at that. So here's the shocking number. If this is what I started with, how does this look? That's what's left. That's all I have to say this morning. No, not quite, but I reflect on that number numerous times in this congregation and brought this up, and I think it's important to stop and think about it sometimes, that if we're actually concerned about leaving a legacy or setting goals and accomplishing all that, do we realize how fast that bottom number is getting smaller? What's a half of 7, 8, 39? So you all at 39 years old in that range, you're that half at that halfway point, right? So you still have quite a bit of time to do something about writing your legacy. But be careful, it goes pretty fast. And this way, young ones, you have lots of time to write your legacy. And I would encourage you to be concerned about that as you make choices in life. There's a lot of things that we do in life that aren't right or wrong. Most of us get a job and somehow supply for our needs. And I believe that's in the Bible, that we should do that. Maybe we could go to the wrong side of a job and maybe doing something that's not godly. But there's a lot of neutral things in life. And so we don't really need to focus on that. But when you think about the things that you could choose in 2022 that are just simply wrong, that will really, really, really show up on your legacy. I, most of you know I'm on the Dutch line and talk to hundreds of people in a listen or talk to or hear people talk. And in the Dutch culture especially, there's lots of names repeated. So not too many Glenn Weavers on the Dutch line, but there's Millers and some of these names that the first names, they have to give a couple initials and so forth to kind of decide who's speaking. But what I'm getting at is some of those people, their identification goes back to a grandpa that was a drunk that's used in that identification. Sometimes he is identified in very negative ways. That's a choice that you have to make this year. Whether they're going to talk about you in 2050 and say something like that. And that's shocking, because it's very simple to get up in the morning and do a lot of normal things in life that are not right and wrong. It's not a wrong choice. But there are certain things in life that we have to make sure we're looking at close enough and be concerned enough with our goals, if that's the term we want to use, or God's will for our life. There are certain things that we need to really sit down and take notice, because that legacy will be left. And I am sometimes identified on this Dutch line, just for example, as the rat man. So when I started talking on the line, I still had the rats from that Mel has now. And so it was very interesting, because farmers don't like rats. And so they associated me with someone they don't like either. And so it was quite a name. And so the other way they identify me is because of my dad. The older men that are, I'm 63 now, and those that are 83 and so forth, remember my dad as a tobacco buyer in the Lancaster County area, in Earl Township. My dad was a very competitive tobacco buyer. And we would drive around on Sunday after church. He would maybe not go the most direct route on the way home, so he could go past the crops of tobacco and see who's doing well with their crop, and the best farmers. And then as soon as his company would, in the winter, when they assigned to buy that tobacco, then he would know exactly which farmer he wants to get. Exactly the first. He wants to be there, right there. As soon as the call comes, calls all on telephone them days. As soon as the call comes and how much he was allowed to sign the contracts for to buy those crops, he would want to know exactly who had taken the best care. Who's the best tobacco husbandry, I guess you'd say. So I'm known as, my dad was Elam Weaver, and the Duakefa. That's to back a buyer. And, you know, in them days it wasn't anything really looked down on that much, but now it's really not that popular or proud to be a tobacco buyer anyway. But I'm just using that for an example. You and I will maybe not have a name like that, but I know Glenn Neuswinger is the guy that works for the city. Right? If you talk to somebody in town that half knows our church and half knows some of our people, and they want to identify somebody that's known and so forth, and well, Kevin Groff was our principal. And so those names go with those people. And so let's be careful as we go through 2022 that we would have a goal to be become a person that has a good name. A good name is rather to be chosen than apples of gold and pictures of silver. This is a Bible verse in Proverbs. And so let's be those people. Okay, for the message this morning, we want to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. There's three things here, probably heard some of this before, that I think is very fitting for an outline for our future of 2022. There's three things that are outlined in here in the first 21 verses that I think is worth taking home. And I would like to challenge us to remember these three points as we go on and leave this place here this morning and as we make choices in life for 2022. Remember, it is important in how we do life. Or your name will be a name that you wish wouldn't be in the future. Well, before we get into Ephesians, I would like for us to turn over to chapter 19 of Acts. Just a little comment here. Whenever we study the book of Ephesians, we're talking about a people that lived at Ephesus. Whenever you look at the seven letters to the churches in Revelation, you come to a letter about the people at Ephesus and the church at Ephesus. And so this is all connected. When you look at Acts chapter 19, we're talking about Ephesus. And we're talking about Diana of the Ephesians, right? You know that phrase. And so as we think about the study of the Bible, let's try and make some of those connections as we go through and open the books. We have Acts giving us a little bit of history, and I'm not going to get near all the history that's given in the Scripture. Plus, there's lots of history from archaeology that has dug up this Ephesus as a very evil place. And so, again, Acts chapter 19, the book of Ephesians, the letter in Revelation chapter 2 to the Ephesian church. All connected, same people, same thought as we read this, okay? So let's start reading chapter 19, verse 23. At this same time, and I'm just jumping in here, there arose no small stir about the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana. And so with connections to archaeology and some of the history studies that we have, this is kind of, it all fits together in the ingredients that we also have in the Scripture. And so here is this silversmith, and he had his he made these silver shrines for Diana. And it brought no small gain unto the craftsmen, whom he called together. Demetrius called together with the workmen of like occupation by this craft. We have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone in Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods, which are made with hands. So that not only this, our craft is in danger. Here, Demetrius is still speaking. So that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worships. So we're talking about a goddess that is not just local, as maybe a group, a wooden thing that we would have here as a group, but this is throughout the world, the known world at that time. Verse 28, and when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Artaxerxes, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered into unto the people, the disciples suffered him not, or allowed him not to go in. A certain of the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent unto him, desiring him that he would not adventure himself or go into the theater. Some therefore cried with one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and more part knew not wherefore they were come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, and the Jews putting him forward. And Alexander beckoned with the hand and would have made his defense unto the people, but when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, cried, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, or quieted down the people, he said, you men of Ephesus, what man is there that knoweth not how the city of Ephesus of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and to do nothing rashly. For they have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches, nor yet blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against any man, the law is open, and there are deputies. Let them implead one another. But if you inquire anything concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in danger to be called in question for this day's uproar, there being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse. And when they had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Quite a movement there by that town clerk, but he did what was necessary to dismiss the council, to dismiss the uproar. I just want to read that to give you an idea. When we then read the book of Ephesus, we're talking about a city that is wholeheartedly given to the worship of Diana, without going into those details. But other than to say that was a very evil worship of this goddess. Now, let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 and look at what it says here in my challenge that has come to me over the years of trying to do God's will and preaching His word and doing life the way God wants me to do. I think there are some ingredients here that are very worthy, very simple, very elementary, but very important to be able to fulfill what we want to get accomplished in 2022. There needs to be some guidance given. And the first one is in the second verse. It talks about chapter 5. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. So the first point simply is walk in love. when you think about that statement, that is a statement that is connected to the first verse when it talks about being followers of God as dear children. God's example through Jesus Christ and His love for us while we were yet sinners is the principle that's given in these two verses. There's something here when we talk about walking in love, that just simply means we love the brotherhood, we reach out to people around us, and we do kind things, the way verse 4 ends, be kind one to another. But there's a principle and example when it says, be ye followers of God as dear children. Something about imitating what Christ has done for us while we were yet sinners. The unlovely person beside you on the pew, or out in the workplace, or wherever you find him, is worthy of this same love in 2022, the same as Christ has done for us. It's a principle that's here. It's not just a casual statement by Paul as a recommendation, but God has given us the examples. And when we talk about being followers, that simply means be imitators, copying the way Christ has done. In all the decisions that Christ had to make in these different people that he met and wanted to stone him or wanted to do this, those are all different stories that we can turn to give us light for our experiences in 2022. And it's given here for us that we should follow that example. So to me, it's a fairly big item. It's not really that hard to do because I think we preach continually that God gives us the strength to do what's right. We're victorious when we want to follow God and do it His way. The day is victorious. It might not always go exactly like it doesn't seem like it's going my way, but God gives us the strength to be victorious. And so God will give us the love that we need to have to copy or imitate what Christ has done. You follow after what He has done. And so, in conclusion to this idea that we copy Christ's example, when we think about the future and the days and year ahead, all our relationships need to be guided by this principle, by this thought. Not too difficult a comment or statement, but sometimes it's a challenge. How do we respond? And how did Christ respond? If we're supposed to be imitators and followers of God as His dear children, all of a sudden it becomes a challenge in an everyday experience. Jesus cared enough to die for us. And as we look at some of this, I'll read the first 7 verses here. When we think about walking as dear children, there's some practical things in these first 7 verses that go with this. And you can just pick them out, like the joking and jesting about people and those kinds of things. That all fits in here into loving people the way God has loved them and being followers of Him. It says, walk in love in verse 2, as Christ also has loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And so when we look at verse 3 to 7, we have some negative things here. But this is given again in this context of this Diana, this worship of Diana, and the culture around them. Paul's saying something to these people. And to me, we have quite a few things that are pretty parallel in our culture with some of this stuff that's going on in Ephesus. And so when it says here in verse 3, but fornication, well, that should put a flag up for anybody in this room. We're not going to be fornicators. that's just not part of this group. Right? And so, but I want to tell you something. We need to think that and live that. That's what it says for these people. And if our society is close to this, then you and I need to think every year as we begin, every month, every week, and every day, we are not fornicators in the sexual sense. We're also not fornicators in worshiping other gods like Diana, which that also fits in here. We're not fornicators. But fornication and all uncleanness, and you could go to each one of these. You question in your mind, is it still wrong? Are these things wrong? You know, it's a challenge. I don't think it's a challenge for me or us. But it seems like it's a challenge for a lot of people. But fornication and all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. Those items there hopefully are understood, and we don't need to let them be our first thoughts. And when we get up in the morning, I don't want to be covetous, and I don't want to be a fornicator. But then listen, it gets more practical. When we go on the list here, it says, kind of in the same context to me when I read this, it says, neither, in other words, in the same group of thought, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. And so you can stop there and look at that and think, well, we're not going to get together at fellowship meal and somebody stand up in front of the meal and start making dirty jokes, or we're not going to be talking bad about somebody up front, jesting or joking and so forth. But apparently this is something that fits into the same bracket to God as the idea of fornication and all the other things. And so Joyce and I always say that when we start kidding about something, and I think it's pretty much true, that 90% of all joking is the truth. I don't know how you view that. 90% of the jokes that you make about the person beside you is the truth. I don't know if that's an internet statistic or that was given to us before internet came. But it's the idea of the words need to be the thankful words about the people around us. That's what this verse is saying. But rather with thankfulness. And so, let's go on. We walk in love is the first point. Verse 5, for you know this, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous, who is an idolater, hath an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But be not ye therefore partakers with them. And so, again, let's let our minds go back to the whole idea of the yelling Diana of the Ephesians and that sold outness to that God. What it says here, be ye not therefore partakers with them. I believe Paul has a reference to the situation where they lived in. And so, as we contrast that rather with the idea of walking in love as dear children, and being imitators of God and loving the way Christ has done, that's the answer or the antidote for this other stuff. The other stuff has always been around. Not just in the Ephesian culture, not just in this culture. It's always been around. That stuff in between there. But let's remember that we are not going to be partakers with them, but we're going to walk in love. Amen? We'll walk in love this year. And we will not make jests about the other people. It's hurtful a lot of times. And On and on it could go. But my challenge for us as we leave here, that we be ready to walk in love as Christ has loved us. Let's go on. Second point is in verse 8. For you were sometimes a darkness. Again, these people came out of the culture. You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And so that's the second point. Not just walking in love, but we walk in light. We are children of light. Verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's in parentheses. So let's go back and read again verse 8 and go right to 10. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Can we have any more of a goal or resolution or a challenge for 2022 than those phrases right there? That we would walk as children of light. In other words, you are children of light. He is making a statement. It's not a maybe. You came out of that culture and you are now following Christ and you are children of light. It's a positional change. You are now in Christ. And we are to walk in light, and we are to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. It's kind of like Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Same thought. Let's be renewed in our mind to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. And then it goes on again in the opposite. It says, don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of Diana, or darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. The challenge and question that we need to keep up front in our forefront in our minds as days go on and the church gets lukewarm, it seems, are we going to stand and have in our minds the idea that some of these things are still wrong? You know, is it still wrong to be part of the worship of Diana or sports or whatever you want to put in there? Is it still wrong? Verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead and Christ shall give thee light. And so, we are challenged here to walk and be lights. It's something we talk about all the time. We have a goal in our minds, and I think our hearts for this congregation is to be a light in this community. We talk about it all the time, and it comes out. There's different times testimonies are given about being a light, and I want that to be our goal, for a continual goal for this group. It's not that it's that new a thought, because that's how we are doing. But let's not give up on it. We're going to be children of light. Let's be lights, I guess. And so that is what I want to leave with you as we think of walking in love and walking in light. And then the last one is there in verse 15. It says, see then, because we're light, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Walking circumspectly is being very careful what for steps we take. When we have these little, watch Jeremy and Mel's and these little children around here, that they take their first steps and they're just about to fall and they got their hands out for balance. And that's walking circumspectly, if you will. In a childish way. They're very careful. They're fearful for the 1-inch step at the door. Because they're going to trip and they half know it. My thing is, as I think of this expiration of my days, how few days it is between the child being scared to go up and down the steps still. You have to take me by the shoulders and take me, or elbows, and help me up and down the steps. That's kind of a side note from the biblical meaning here, but it does mean something, because when Joyce and I come down the steps, we do not come down our steps. We have steep, short steps at our house. We had many people fall down into the wall. One little girl, about a 100-pounder at a youth group one time, she slid down the steps and broke right through the drywall. And so when Joyce and I come down the steps, we have a railing. I put those grippy step thingies on so we don't fall. Ben comes home and he does 3 steps and he's down at the bottom. It just all does bang, bang, clunk. He's down at the bottom. And that's not walking circumspectly as far as Joyce and I is concerned. And so the same thing would apply here when we think of our spiritual life for 2022. Just close with this idea that there's a warning given here of redeeming the time because the days are evil. The day in Ephesus was evil. The day here is evil. And so we're to walk circumspectly, not take wasteful steps. And not take steps that are half slippery. We know if it's not going to work. We know if it's not God's will. And so what he is giving instructions here for is that we would walk wisely. God has revealed himself to us through his word and through the Spirit, and gives directions for those steps. Let's not walk fearfully, but let's walk circumspectly and think about where that next step is going to take us. So can we remember the idea of walking in love as Christ has loved us? Walking in the light because we are light, and walk circumspectly. God has given us direction to walk circumspectly. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for this morning that you've given us to worship you and to come together here as a group, thinking about the new year and some of the things that you have given us in your word for direction and guidance. We just pray for each one as we go from here that we could walk in the love and be imitators of that whole concept that's given there in the beginning of chapter 5. Also, I ask your guidance as we are children of light, that we would continue to let our light shine bright as we go through this life and through the year and the days ahead here. Just bless each one in this congregation. And then help us to walk circumspectly. Take thought of what our next moves are. Pray a blessing on each one in Jesus' name. Amen.